finished the Ten Commandments last week, and from today we'll be looking at the book of Jonah, starting from chapter 1. I look at my sermon history in here, New Hope. I already preached on Jonah chapter 2 and chapter 4, which is pretty much related to chapter 1. So I'd like to encourage you, if you want to hear Jonah chapter 2 and chapter 4, you can do that. But I will go through making three messages from Jonah chapter 1. So today is the first day, Jonah chapter 1. We'll be looking at the Jonah's story, which is one of famous stories from the Bible. Everybody knows that story. Before reading the scripture, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for telling us all kinds of different stories from the Bible to remind us of your love and your grace and your promise. Today we'll be looking at one of famous stories from the Bible, Jonah. And we will think about, we will be thinking about ourselves as we are reading and listening to this text. So would you please come and speak to us, speak to me, so that everyone in this sanctuary will be in your grace and in your mercy. We will taste the heaven. We will taste the presence of our God right now because of your word. So bless us. We pray your son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of God, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. Its page number is 982. I'm sorry. Usually I wrote down here, but I didn't do. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Interesting story. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest upon the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise and call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." What an interesting story. And over the months, we have studied together the Ten Commandments. Now, we know that the Ten Commandments come to us as a boundary for all the Christians, guideline. It teaches us how to live in this world as God's people and to make our relationship with God strong and healthy. That's the purpose. And to make our relationship with our neighbors and strong, healthy, building up God's strong community. So we need to remember the teaching of the Ten Commandments. If it is possible, we have to remember all the day. However, there is a challenge. We all know that it is really maybe extremely difficult for us to perfectly keep all these teachings. If someone comes to me and asks me, "Would you keep all these things?" I will try, but it's really difficult. Why? Because of our sin. We are sinners. We are sinners before God, and we are not perfect. And also, we are living in a world that is a broken world, and sinful world. That's why we need one thing. We need God's grace, which is granted us through His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. As the Heidelberg Catechism says, we read last week, question and answer 115, it says, the longer we live, the more we may come to know our sinfulness in this world. We realize that we are not perfect. And the more eagerly look to Christ. That's our identity. The more we live in this world, we feel we need Christ for forgiveness of sins and righteousness. What a wonderful statement. We need Christ. Starting about the Ten Commandments, it's not about all laws and make your life awesome. No, it is all about knowing God and knowing Christ. We simply realize that nothing but Christ, Christ alone, from our Ten Commandments. However, we also know that something by our nature, we are trying to run away from God's teaching like Jonah. We do our best to read the Bible and to participate in our prayer meetings, even small group meetings, having our devotion time, attending Sunday school and other church activities. We are so busy with that. But sometimes we are struggling because we sense that our hearts are drifting away God's presence and even Christ. Then sometimes we become runaway Christians, like the prodigal son in Jesus' parable. Have you ever feeling like that? Feeling like I'm a running away Christian from His word and command or His teaching like Jonah from our text? Based on what we have learned, based on what we have practiced, based on the God's love and grace and faith in everything, we know that we have to live. We have to obey God's word every day. But the reality makes us trouble. We just cannot live in this world based on God's commandment from the scriptures. So we simply run away by our nature, sinful nature, run away from God and His presence, His command, His word, and His teaching. Especially we run away when we have to share the gospel at that moment. We feel, oh, there's nothing I can do. We feel run away. Have you ever run away from God's command, His word, and His teaching as Jonah did? I have. This is my personal story that I'm going to share with you today. It's about my personal experience. In 2006, a church in Anchorage, a Christian from church, hired me as its youth and outreach pastor. And one of my assignments was to regularly visit a local high school to bring some young people to church. It's nonsense. Please don't ask me to do that. Go to Seattle, bring some young people. It's nonsense for me. So with God's grace, the principal allowed me to visit the school during lunchtime once a week. So I did. For my first visit, I felt overwhelmed by the size of the high school that I visited. It's not a small school. It was big school. It looks to me like a big city. Over 2,000 students. 2,000 students are walking down on the hallways and eating, talking in so many rooms and staff members. I felt overwhelmed. Although there were so many places and people, or there was no place for me to go and talk and visit, it seemed everyone was looking at me because I was wearing backpack with hoodie, trying to be a high school student. And I asked God, how can I begin a new minister with this kind of situation. Then while I was walking down one of the hallways, and I saw some Asian young people who were doing breakdance together. Since I'm an Asian pastor, I thought, oh, maybe I can hang out with these guys to see their performance, spending my time. Then I began to visit them every Thursday just to see their amazing performance. Then I pray that, God, would you please help me? Then I can talk to them when I visit fourth time. It was my fourth visitation. I decided to talk to them, the breakdancers. And as I got close to them, they were like a second, have to go upstairs and second floor. As I got up close to them, I saw some of them were looking at me. That's a weird feeling. And talking to each other like that. So it was a moment that I felt, I was waiting for, I have to go and talk. They recognized me, but to be honest with you, all of a sudden, I felt something in my stomach. And I felt really weird and to get near them, and because they were continually looking at me, talking about me. I feel like that. I hope you know that feeling. Some people are looking at you. Not comfortable. So what I did, I turned away. Turned myself away from them and began walk down to the opposite direction and ran away from them. Basically, ran away from them. Well, I was trying to run away from them, and my heart continued to say to me, I can't do this. I can't. Who cares? Why me? I don't have to do this. God will send somebody else. Not me. Jonah was a famous person in the Old Testament. We know that. If many non-Christians know about Jonah's story from the Bible. However, many people believe that Jonah's story is a tale. But it's not. It's a real story. Jonah was a real man who actually lived in Israel. And he was one of the prophets in the northern part of Israel. Yes, Jonah was a prophet. That means he was the mouthpiece of God, or God's speaker. When God says something, he has to say. As the mouthpiece of God, Jonah had faithfully served God by delivering God's word to the Israelites, which is, I'm going to read it to you, 2 Kings chapter 14 and 25. During the time of the Jeroboam II, the king of the northern part of Israel, Jonah prophesied the restoration of Israel's territory. That is in 2 Kings 14, 25. And it actually became true. So he's a famous. He was working really hard. But there is another story that we know about Jonah. That Jonah was not always faithful and obedient to God's word. As a human being, one time he completely ignored God and his voice, his calling. Yes, he failed to live according to God's command. Now we can say, what a shameful story to read as a prophet of God. This is the story of Jonah going into downhill, and ignoring God's words. That is our story. Today our text speaking with God's new assignment. Very exciting. As he was a prophet of God, when he listens to God's word, he must be really excited. It says, verse 1, the word of God, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Now we see the phrase, the word of the Lord came, here in verse 1. Well, you may think that this is an old-fashioned way that a God is speaking to his people in the Bible. But it's not. The phrase, the word of God, the word of the Lord came to somebody. It appears in the Old Testament actually when God directly gave his divine commandments to the prophets. It's the way God speaks to his people. Now think about that. So the prophet of God, Jonah, must have trembled and felt excited. Now is time. God is finally speaking to me. When God directly speaks to him, when he, Jonah, directly received the word of God, he must have felt something in his heart, desiring. Suppose if we directly hear God's voice from heaven today, wouldn't it be awesome? What if God clearly tells you where to go, where you should go or shouldn't go, what you should do or you shouldn't do, how to deal with many difficult situations, your struggling, your problem, you're looking for answers. What if God speaks to you right now? That will be awesome. Maybe some young people, if God directly tells you the kind of questions that you'll be on your final exams, God will show you it will be your exams. That will be awesome. Sometimes we ponder, what if God directly speaks to me? Then we will do whatever God says so. Well, it actually happened to Jonah. God directly spoke to him. The word of the Lord came to him, Jonah. Exciting moment, trembling moment. And then God said continually, go, I'm reading the NIV, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. That's verse 2. Now I want to stop here and look at the verse 2 a little bit more. Here in verse 2, I just read the NIV because the NIV says, go to the great city of Nineveh. Now, but we have to know that there is one more word found in the Hebrew, the original Bible, in that phrase. That is, before the go. Hebrew Bible says, stand and go, which is the ESV is right. Arise and go. Now, by reading that, arise, stand up, and go, by reading that, we feel more sense of urgency. This is not time to wait the next time. We have to stand up. We have to go right now. Now, we read it together. Stand and go. God wanted to see Jonah's immediate response by telling him, stand and go, arise and go. That means there is no time to waste in your life. Once you hear my voice, stand and go. God was telling him, hey, Jonah, hurry up. Come on, stand up and go to Nineveh. But wait a second. What did God say to Jonah? Go to Nineveh? Now, I'm sure that Jonah must have thought one thing. Hold on one second. Did God really want me to go to Nineveh? Hold one second. No, it shouldn't be right. For Jonah, God's new assignment was unbelievable. Unacceptable, unreasonable. Because Nineveh is the capital of his enemy's city. It's his enemy. All enemies are living there. So I have to go there to share the love of God? Then we can think about it. Jonah must have asked this question. Why? Why me? Well, did God explain to Jonah why? Why he had to go to Nineveh? Yes, God did. God gave him a simple, very strong reason. In verse 2, God said, because it's wickedness has come up before me. Please remember this verse. Because its wickedness has come up before me. Do we see the wickedness around us? However, Jonah could not accept God's new assignment. It's unreasonable. So as we just read of chapter 1, he decided to run away from God and his commandment. Okay, whatever, I don't care. What you said, it's not acceptable. Sometimes we hear children and young people say, duh, who cares? We don't know what Jonah specifically said at the time when he ran away from God. But based on Jonah's reaction toward God, we can easily read his mind. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares about our neighbors? I don't want to go. Is that sometimes our reaction to God's commandment? We have looked at all the Ten Commandments over the months. And we have tried our best to refocus our minds and hearts to the teaching of the Ten Commandments over the months, maybe still going on. But isn't it true that sometimes we say, oh no, who cares? Simple reason is because we cannot keep all these things, teachings. Do not steal. Oh my goodness. We steal sometimes. Do not lie. Yes. Especially God speaks to us like Jonah. Stand and go to the world and preach and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is our answer? Even Jesus Christ commands us in Matthew 28 verse 19, same language. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28, 19. We know that verse. But whenever we read that particular verse, because Jesus said to his disciples, even to our hearts, are we trembling before his words? We feel excited. Yes, this is what Jesus wants. Let's do it. Or fulfilling nothing. Isn't it true that we are spiritually saying sometimes, who cares? So what? Or whatever. But we know one thing. God cares. God cared about the people. People in Nineveh. That was why God directly spoke to Jonah. Stand up and go. Yes, they were pagans. They didn't know God. They did not believe in God of Israel at the time. They were enemies of Israel. They didn't care about God. They were enemies of all God's people. Simply saying, they were bad people. That means they deserved God's punishment and judgment. But the amazing thing is, God did care about them. There's actually chapter 4, God says, I do care about these people. Because God created them. That's why God loved them as well. But the problem here, our text is, the prophet Jonah did not care about them. Even worse, Jonah did not want, he did not want to care about them. Who cares? So what? We all know the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, and he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Does God care about the people in the world right now? I believe so.
God surely cares about the people. We have to realize that. We have to feel that sense. God cares about great city, Spokane.
He loves the world as He loves you and me. And let me ask you a question. Do we care about the people around us? Do we really care about people next to our door who don't believe in God and Jesus Christ? What if God says to us on our heart today, "Hey, James, stand and go, knock on the door, and speak, share the gospel of Jesus Christ." What is our answer? God is saying to us, "I want you to care of my people in the world." Do we take God's commandment seriously? Or do we act and respond like Jonah by saying, "Who cares?" Now let's think about a little bit different angle. Let's think a little bit different. As contemporary Christians, we frequently hear many people saying and asking the following questions. They say, "Does God really care about the world? Do you believe that?" Non-Christians saying to us. And they keep saying, "If God cares about the world, why do all kinds of bad things happening and every day to the world?" Now, if people ask those questions, what would you answer their questions? And probably you'll give them one of the following answers. I thought about that. Yes, God loves you. God loves the world and care about the world. That is why He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. You will just pull out the Bible, read John chapter 3, verse 16. And or we will say, "That is a tough question. You don't understand right now, but however, if you read the Bible more and more, you would understand in the future." There's nothing wrong with these two statements, but it's true that God gave us His one and only Son and to show His love to people. It's true that the Bible tells about God's love and care for His creation and many, many love and His love for each people in the world. God cares about you and God cares about the world. However, don't you think that answers that we talked about here is too much like a Christian style or Sunday school style answers? We know that our children will answer whatever we ask them, their answer will be Jesus Christ. It's okay to say it and forced to say this answer, but let's think about it this way. If we say God loves you and He cares about you to the non-believers, let's think about that way. When they ask us those questions, frankly speaking, people in the world will not understand our answers because of our answers would be to them, non-realistic for them. Yes, I do have many questions. Let's think about these questions then. When people, I'm going to invite you to think another way differently now. People in the world asking, is God caring about us? And we say, yes, we do. Leave that away. Think this way. When people raise a question about God and His loving care for the world, is it true that they question God's love and mercy to the world? Is it really true that they are wondering about God's love and care? Or when people raise a question about God's love and His loving care for the world, is it true that we Christians fail to show them God's love? So people out there are asking us about God's care and love to us because they really want to know. They really want to find out God's presence and power, the power of the gospel. Or we always fail to show them. That's why they don't know.
For example, Jesus taught us to become the salt and light of the world. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." Cannot be hidden. "Neither do people light a lamp or put it on a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Now, people in the world keep saying, "There is no God. There is no God. God does not care about the world." Is that their problem? Because they don't believe in God? Or is that God's problem because God does not love them? Or it's our problem because as we are the light of the world, don't shine the love of God upon them? Whose problem? People in Nineveh would say, "Where is God?" And God says, "Stand and go." And Jonah said, "Who cares?" I'm sure that you are still wondering about my running away story that I started at the beginning of my sermon. As I continued to run away from these breakdancers, young people, I kept saying and talking to myself, "Who cares? If I don't go, maybe God will send somebody else. And there is a nice teacher or someone else in this school, they will take care of them. Maybe they are Christians. I don't have to go." Trying to make so many excuses and reasoning and telling to myself. Then, the other side of my heart was telling me, "No, James, no, no. What are you doing? Where are you going?" And at the same time saying, "God, I am really sorry. I'm really sorry. I want to go back, but I can't. I can't." When I almost reached to the end of the hallways, which is about to go outside the door, I met the principal of that high school. Then all of a sudden I thought, well, what if I'm going to spend time with the principal, then I don't have to return, go back to these kids. Right, God? Oh, thank you, God. I met him. More than 2,000 students and lots of staff members. It was a downside. It's a lower level hallway. I met him right at the end of the hallway. I don't know why he was there. So I thought God sent him to save me. So I found a good excuse. So I directly went to the principal and began to talk about life and things and about school. We talked about school and the students' life and other things. And I asked him, "Hey, if you need help, if you have any Korean students here, maybe I can help. I can be their helper or counselor or whatever they need." Guess what? As soon as I told him about helping international students, he said, "Oh, James, that's a great idea." Then he said, "Why don't we just go to the ESL, which is English Second Language office, meeting with the teachers right now." That was so fast. And he said, "I will introduce you to the English Second Language teachers." Well, why not? I felt God answered my prayer. Let's go. As we both were walking down the hallway and going up to the second floor, I noticed that something was not right. Because the principal was going toward the same place where the breakdancers were dancing, spending their time. And I felt weird and scared, really scared. And finally, he knocked on the door, one of office. We arrived at the ESL teacher's office, which is just about 10 steps away from the breakdancers. Now guess what? The principal brought me there to the place where the Asian breakdancers were dancing. Because of ESL teachers, you know, office was right there. And just in front of the young people, I felt, oh no, I just came back. Even worse, the principal asked me to what those young people are doing and let's look at them together. Oh no. And we stood for a while. Basically, the principal just grabbed me here and brought me to them right there. We stood there for a while and watched them together, their performance. And finally, he asked one of the young people, that was a freshman, asked his name, and he said, this is James, and James, how are you? And all of them welcomed me, and they became my friends. I was a contemporary Jonah. Only one thing I wanted at the time was running away. Running away from that particular situation. But to be honest with you, the principal was a big whale. And the high school was a great city. But seriously, God cares about the people in there. Definitely, there were non-Christian kids. They didn't know anything about God. That's why God sent me. I didn't want to go. I want to be in church, and if people come to church, I want to welcome them, not just going out and knock on the door. God cares about people out there. That is why He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. He reminds us every Sunday. Jesus did not have to die on the cross, but He did. He did. Because there's no one who can take care of our sins, but only Jesus Christ. We are the ones who get all the benefit from His death and resurrection. We got everything from God and God's grace. Now God speaks to us in our hearts from our text. Stand and go. Tell people that I do love them. I do care for them. Show them the love of Jesus Christ. Tell them the power of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins to them. God cares about people that we meet every day at work, and our neighbors, and groceries, and everywhere. Who cares? God cares. Later on, the guy first I met talked to each other, asking his name. He became a Christian, definitely. And about 4 years later, after his graduation, one Christian school in South Korea was looking for a college student coming and teaching Bible. That young people that I met 4 years ago, I asked him, would you like to go to South Korea? He said that my dream was to visit South Korea for a long time because South Korea is a big country for breakdancers. So we sat together for 6 months going through the Haribo Catechism. And then the day he left, he and I sat together. We talked about it. We said that I didn't know why God sent me to your high school at the time. But now I know you are going to my country as a missionary. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? God spoke to Jonah. Jonah did not respond for the first time, but he will next time. This story tells us something.
What if God speaks to us today? Are we ready to run away? Or are we ready to stand up and go? Do we care? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ sending Him to us and forgiving our sins and adopting us as your children. Although we know many things from the Bible, teachings and your word, it's our nature try to run away from your teachings and your call. It happens to me and it happens to everybody here sitting in this sanctuary. Lord, since we overviewed Jonah's story, would you please help us to think about one more time when you speak to us? Not just simply running away from your calling, and quietly thinking about your call, seriously thinking about your call, and faithfully respond to your call. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for calling us to hear New Hope Christian Reformed Church. And help us to remember your call. Help us to remember the love of Jesus Christ. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.